Views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and guests and do not express the views or opinions of any of their employers or affiliates.
Hi, I'm Ritika Rose. Welcome to Awaken Your Truth, where I bring conscious dialogues and stories that will help you free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. I hope to shift your perspective and create deeper understanding of yourself and others. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a purpose. Every experience has a reason. This show is about engaging with the truth of who you are, discovering your personal power and stepping into your authentic self so you can have more compassion and empathy for yourself and everyone around you. It's time for us to dig deep and learn to see ourselves and others with clarity so that we can come together and create a brighter future for humanity. When we free our minds, we can heal our lives, and this is how we build a powerful, transformed world. Awaken Your Truth starts now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose. Today, I'm so excited to have a very special guest on, Miss Sally Riggs, who is a doctor of clinical psychology. As you know, my show brings conscious dialogues that free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. And for those of you that saw our last episode on Transformation Talk Radio, it was about how it was my COVID journey and how COVID healed me and how I returned to myself through isolation. And I think that this show with Sally Riggs is going to be such a great next segue into speaking about COVID and the importance of learning more about COVID-19. And today we're going to be talking all about long COVID, the symptoms around long COVID, and Sally's personal journey through her COVID process and her current long COVID process. It's so important, Sally. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the work that you do. And this conversation is so important because I think that, you know, for those, again, who watch Awaken Your Truth, the show is all about bringing more consciousness around topics that are often misunderstood or we don't have enough knowledge or education about. So I really like to bring on guests that can speak to different topics so we can have more wisdom and guidance around areas that we do need to understand more. So we can have less judgment, more acceptance, and more understanding around these different areas. And I think long COVID is definitely something that COVID in general is something, right, that we're still understanding more and more each day. We're 2.5 years into this pandemic. I'm into this new diagnosis that the world is working through. And long COVID is something I think that, you know, we knew was coming up early on in the pandemic and you know, the treatment process, but I think it's still definitely we need more understanding around. And I know that you've just with you having long COVID in general and all the research that you've done around it, the wisdom you're going to bring to the show today is going to be so beneficial. So everybody,
thank
please.
You so much.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So let's welcome Sally Riggs in again, doctor of clinical psychology. She has a private practice in New York City. Sally, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit more about what you do. And please share
thank
your
you.
Story of COVID and long COVID. And, you know, today we're going to be talking all about understanding more about that treatment process and what people really need to understand for those that are you know, also having
going
long COVID
through
symptoms
it.
Themselves. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm a psychologist. I trained originally in the UK. I came to the US about 14 years ago, did my postdoc here, and then have been working in the US ever since. I moved into private practice 2015, so a few years back now, and was quietly sort of minding my own business, running my private practice, when COVID hit and I got sick right before lockdown happened. So we transitioned to telemedicine about a week before the official rest in place order from Governor Cuomo here in New York. And I had already contracted COVID unknowingly at that point. So having previously spent 20 years of my career training and kind of becoming an expert in a particular type of therapy that I do, when I started to recover from long COVID and is still an ongoing active recovery, I'm not 100%. There's a lot of this physiological illness for us to overcome. But I started, as I started to feel better, noticing that there is very much a mind-body element to our recovery. And as a psychologist and as a therapist, we're uniquely positioned in that sort of mind-body world to begin to support people in their own long COVID recovery journeys. So since January, even though I still have to be mindful of my own energy levels and my own wellness, I have started working with people with long COVID, offering coaching, offering the Safe and Sound protocol, which we will probably talk a bit more about later, and various other things to support people, including public speaking and you know, coming and talking on podcasts and in various other places to spread the word about long COVID, because it is at best misunderstood and at worst not even known about at all. You know, still so many people are getting acute COVID and not realizing that long COVID is a possibility 2.5 years in. You know, I've been sick for 2.5 years and there's millions of people like me, and yet still not everybody knows that that could happen to them too.
I think what's really important, Sally, if you could, and if you're open to it, share a bit of, you know, your COVID journey and diagnosis. How did you know? Now, you said you had COVID before it was actually announced. Is that correct? Or that, you know?
So we were talking very much. I seem to recall the first cases in New York kind of early March. And of course, everything was very downplayed. Mm-hmm. So there was sort of one confirmed case, two confirmed cases. Obviously, we know now that COVID had probably been around since November, December, and way more people had probably had it. But the early confirmed cases, and then there was lots of discussion about how it was spreading exponentially and we should be flattening the curve. That graph went round, if you remember. And lots of businesses made the decision that they were going to work from home before the official don't even leave your house order kind of came out. So I had transitioned. I was in the office Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday, we went to all telemedicine. And so I had a long day Thursday seeing patients on telemed, reassuring everybody, reassuring my staff, etc. Friday, I was very, very tired. And I started thinking, oh, goodness, I hope this isn't COVID. And symptoms progressed kind of over the weekend, very mild chest pain, body aches, just kind of flu-ish feeling. And I tried to get a test first thing Monday when urgent care opened at 8 a.m. Very reluctantly, with a lot of persuasion, she did administer the test. I don't think terribly well. And 10 days later, it came back negative. You know, in those days,
this
the tests
was the PCR
were pretty,
test.
But, you know, they were fresh off the, you know, nobody had really been trained in how to administer them. The labs, I think it sat and wasn't even collected by the lab for several days. And then how the labs were even processing, I'm not really sure. So I never got an official positive test, but it was pretty clear my symptoms, you know, were very much like everybody else who reported that they had COVID around
and
that
what
time.
What were your symptoms, Sally? Because I know symptoms are different for everybody with COVID, but I think it's also for those that are listening who may not have, similar to you, right, may have not ever had an actual diagnosis of COVID, just sort of reviewing the symptoms here, you know, people can.
And it's definitely possible you can get long COVID from asymptomatic. So there are many people who never even knew that they were sick. And then got long COVID. And there are certainly people who had some weird virus in December, January, and now also have long COVID. So those, you know, just because you didn't have symptoms doesn't mean it's not long COVID. For me, it was the original variant, which is a little bit different than kind of Omicron, which is what we're dealing with now. But I had body aches, low-grade fever, you know, malaise, fatigue. I didn't have the cough. I didn't have runny nose. Runny nose was not a thing in those days, but I did have not a metallic taste. Sorry, not a loss of taste and smell, but a weird metallic taste.
Okay.
So about 10 days in, when I was actually feeling a little bit better and maybe starting to eat a little bit more normally again, I practically threw out all the food in my fridge because of a strange metallic taste. And then about 24 hours later, they started reporting that there were taste and smell symptoms.
Right.
And I was kind of annoyed because if you remember, it was also hard to get groceries in those days.
Right.
So
right.
I had very little in the fridge. And I also had chest pain intermittently, but it was strange and it wasn't like anything I'd ever had before. And so, you know, called my doctor to try and get reassurance. I did not have an O2 monitor or any of those mm-hmm. things that are recommended now. Right. So I have no idea, you know, what was going on in terms right. of my vital signs or anything like that. But just, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks of fluiness, basically.
Right. And before we go to commercial break, if we can talk to the audience, when did you start realizing that you were having symptoms of long COVID? And what are those symptoms for you? Or what are some symptoms that others could be having? And then when we come back from commercial break, we'll talk more about, you know, the misunderstandings and, you know, the perspective shift we can have around COVID and long COVID.
Yeah. So I mean, in all honesty, for me, I never fully recovered. Mm-hmm. I'm a long distance runner. And the first time I went back out to run, it felt like every fiber of my being was just off. You know, everything mm-hmm. hurt, every old injury I'd ever had came back, just really, really uncomfortable. But really, as time went on, just getting fatigued very easily from everyday activities. And then as we went into May, June, July, I was getting out of breath, walking up a very easy hill, much more acute chest pain while I was running, and then also not while I was running. And just generally a lot of weird and wonderful things like skin stuff, rashes, heat sensitivity, photosensitivity. A lot of just all kinds of strange. And at last count, I think it's 211 possible symptoms for long COVID. You know, the main ones that are talked about: brain fog, fatigue, shortness of breath, chest pain, but there are many, many, many others. Mm. So if you are just having strange things that you've never experienced before, that may well be long COVID.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk further about long COVID, what's misunderstood about it, what we need to understand more, and get some more of Sally's wisdom and knowledge around this topic. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll be right back. Tagged You're It takes you on a journey of 8 life mastery skills that will help you step into your power and become the leader of your own life. Inspiring, real, insightful, and therapeutic, the pages help you discover deeper awareness, understanding, and relationship with yourself and others. Give yourself permission to live life through your authentic self. These steps can be used in your personal, professional, and social life. Order your copy now on Amazon. Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com. Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, where I bring conscious dialogues that free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Today, we're talking to Sally Riggs, Doctor of Clinical Psychology, and we're talking all about long COVID and the wisdom and knowledge she gets to bring to this table for someone that actually has long COVID and is treating patients and coaching patients and clients through long COVID as well. So thank you, Sally, so much for being on the show today. And, you know, the first segment we talked about Sally's personal journey with COVID and recognizing and realizing that she has long COVID and 2.5 years later still has it. And, you know, Sally, I think what's really important, what I'd like to actually touch on quickly is, in your experience or through your research, right? And so for the audience that knows, I just had COVID this summer, right? And I realized, you know, symptoms that I was having 3 to 4 weeks into or after my COVID time had passed, right? And is there any research or any information that you can share with us that, because what's interesting to me is knowing how soon do long COVID symptoms show up? Do they show up right away? Maybe like as your 2 week, 10 day process of COVID is happening and shortly after that 2 week period, you start recognizing your long COVID symptoms, or do these long COVID symptoms, can they show up later on? Like a month or two or three months down the line, right? Because, you know, some of the symptoms you just brought up, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know if it's just my age and, you know, I'm the fatigue and the brain fog and some of these things are that I'm actually do experience. You know, could these be long COVID symptoms for me or for others that are maybe questioning after their COVID time that some of the symptoms that they're having is actually long COVID symptoms, or is it just their body in general? Or, you know, can you touch on that with us and let us know what your research has shown regarding?
The short answer is yes and no. So those could be long COVID. They could not be long COVID. But the bottom line is that COVID is a vicious disease. This is not just a mild cold that the body has the ability to recover from easily. We know now, and I was just listening to a webinar yesterday with a lot of the cutting edge researchers working on acute COVID and on long COVID. This is a vascular disease, which means that it affects blood vessels, it affects things that go into your heart, things that go into your lungs. And we know that everybody with long COVID has teeny tiny sticky clots in their blood that interfere with everything and all the systems in your body. And we don't have the data yet whether everybody who gets acute COVID also has those clots initially during acute infection and what is happening in terms of the vascular changes for them. But I was listening to somebody yesterday saying, we really, really do need to get data on this because right now the message is out there, it's no big deal. If you get it, you recover, don't worry. But actually what she was seeing as a cardiologist is it does significant damage to the heart and to all of the blood vessels that are going in and out of the heart. And potentially the more times we get infected, the worse that damage is. Yeah. So what we're seeing is your lingering symptoms. Some people have symptoms that go on for a while, and that might be a month. It might be longer than a month. I think the CDC is saying that long COVID is anything after 4 weeks. Those of us who've had it for 2.5 years are kind of more in the camp of like, really don't worry until you get to the 3 month mark. But that being said, if you're having symptoms, reach out for medical support because there are lots of things that can be done early on if you get to the right doctors. Lots of doctors do not even know this yet, despite the fact that we've been here for 2.5 years. But if you were able to advocate for yourself, if you're able to keep going until you find a primary who knows and listens and has some data or is willing to read the research, there are interventions that can be done early on, relatively low level over-the-counter medications, some prescription medications that can help out and reduce the risk of you getting long COVID.
And so we're both not doctors, but, you know, we're both in the medical profession, but could you maybe just identify some of those treatments or over-the-counter medications, if you know of any, that way the audience that's listening can advocate for themselves with their physicians and have these important discussions.
Yeah. So again, this is not me giving medical advice. Correct. You definitely want to check with your primary care physician or other medical providers. But things like what we call an H1 and an H2 blocker, which are antihistamines. Mm-hmm. So H1, if I get it the right way around, I believe is the regular antihistamines that we all think of, Claritin, Zyrtec, Allegra. H2 is your Pepcid, which most people actually don't think of as an antihistamine, but it has a different kind of antihistamine action in the body in addition to the acid-reducing qualities that it has. So there's a protocol where you would take slightly higher doses than the over-the-counter, hence why you also definitely want to check with your medical professionals. And that can really help with some of the systems that are set off in the body by what COVID is doing, the inflammation, these things called mast cells, which are all over every part of the body and get activated in the immune and inflammatory response, and can be overactivated. And that's responsible for a lot of what we're experiencing in long COVID. Mm-hmm. Also, various supplements, again, that are going to be anti-inflammatory. Again, you know, check with your herbalist or whoever is prescribing these things for you. But things like quercetin, turmeric, which all have like anti-inflammatory properties, and then higher doses of things that you might commonly take for a cold or flu, like vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D, etc. Those are all good things that people can do if they've had acute infection to try and reduce their risk. The other thing that you can do, well, two things, reduce stress as much as possible and rest as much as possible. We know that although long COVID doesn't discriminate, so all of us could get it, it is overrepresented in women between the ages of about 35 and 55, particularly type A, ambitious, driven. and those of us who are very prone to, you know, high-level jobs where we might have a stressful project or we might take on two or three things at once. And almost everybody I know with long COVID comes into that category. You know, I myself, as a psychologist, and you as a therapist, Ritika, know that we were so overwhelmed during the pandemic taking care of everybody else.
Right.
That we all had huge long wait lists, and I didn't miss a single patient even when I was sick because I didn't want them to know. I didn't want them to worry. So don't do that. Do the opposite of that. Take off. Rest, reduce as much stress in your life as you can.
Thank you so much, Sally, for that. And I think that's a great next segue into the next segment after we come back from commercial break is lifestyle with long COVID, right? And treatment options for long COVID. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, let's talk about these lifestyle changes, lifestyle adaptations and treatments that you offer and others that offer for those having long COVID. So thank you so much for that information. Again, I do want to preface that Sally and I are not physicians. So the information Sally has just shared, please, lots of wisdom and knowledge, but please refer and consult with your physicians for the best treatment options for you and the symptoms that you may be having during COVID or your long COVID symptoms. So thank you so much for listening and we'll be right back. Tagged You're It takes you on a journey of 8 life mastery skills that will help you step into your power and become the leader of your own life. Inspiring, real, insightful, and therapeutic, the pages help you discover deeper awareness, understanding, and relationship with yourself and others. Give yourself permission to live life through your authentic self. These steps can be used in your personal, professional, and social life. Order your copy now on Amazon. Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker.
My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, where I bring conscious dialogues that free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. And in this next segment, we're going to be talking about long COVID lifestyle changes and adaptations that we can implement into our lives. And in the last segment, thank you, Sally, for bringing in the last segment, really paying attention to the long COVID symptoms and you know, really taking a break or learning what you need to do for yourself if you're experiencing these symptoms. So for the audience, you know, I think what's really important is if you are or if you feel that you are experiencing any symptoms of long COVID, whether you're a couple weeks after your COVID experience or whether you're a couple months into or after your COVID experience, if you still feel any of the symptoms that we touched on, brain fog, fatigue, body aches, etc., chest pain, difficulty breathing, any of these symptoms that you feel like you're still having, please consult your physician around any medical treatments that they can prescribe for you. As Sally touched on some of these, again, we are not doctors. So anything that Sally did speak on in the last segment, you know, please bring these up with your physician so they can have a proper conversation with you and prescribe you the appropriate treatment that you need. So not only medically advocating for yourself with your physicians, but Sally and I are now going to talk about the psychological and mental factors of advocating for yourself, right? And Sally will speak to some of the treatments and coaching that she does in particular to those dealing with long COVID. But, you know, Sally, so thank you for that. I just want to piggyback on what you were saying from the last segment, you know, from my last episode of how COVID healed me in returning to self through isolation, you know? So very, in particular for myself through my isolation period and process and for the audience listening, you know, sort of self-reflect for yourself during your process. And if you were maybe picking up on any of the areas that I did through my COVID process, and Sally, I'm sure you can attest to some of this too. And for the audience, you can go back and listen to my last show. But, you know, through my 10-day isolation period, I actually had a full 10-day isolation period. I did not actually test negative till 14 days after. And I had continued. And as a medical professional here in California, you know, at your 6-day mark, if you still test positive on your rapid and if you're still having symptoms, you are to remain isolated. At least during my time in the summer, that was the California policies. Please keep in mind every state has their own COVID policy, so please pay attention to what your state says. But for California, that was, and as a medical and healthcare professional, those were the policies I had to adhere to. But through my isolation process, you know, I really got to sit with myself, reflect with myself, go back into my meditation and spiritual processes, which I had, you know, lapsed on for a bit. Because as Sally said, for those of us that are in high-paced positions, right, we tend to just, sometimes we just go, go, go. And we forget sometimes to take that time for ourselves on a more regular basis or more regularly throughout the day. Now, I think we all have our practices, but maybe just remembering, you know, to pause more regularly throughout the day, especially when we are in the positions where we're constantly on the go, whether you're type A, yes, or not. Some of us still hold positions that, or are in private practices,
very stressful.
Just, you know, are very stressful. Yeah. So what I really learned through my experience was, what a big thing for me was just learning to say no when I need to, taking on what I can and, not maybe letting go, sometimes letting go of what is maybe not in alignment with me anymore, but, or maybe putting some things to the side until I can return to them. But really just focusing back on present moment, what is important for me in that moment, what I can handle in that moment, and knowing not to take everything on, you know, because I know I can do it. I have that strength and that skill set. You know,
until you get long COVID and then you won't be able to.
Until you're so tired and you realize I just can't do it. And I just have to say no sometimes. And and I think what's really important too for mental health practitioners, right? We teach our clients this and our patients this, like, is the importance of communication, right? Communicating out to those in your professional circle or your personal circle to say, hey, this is what I need right now. you know, and and advocate for yourself, right?
Yeah. So, Ritika, there's a few things that I want to say here, which are really important. And not coming from a depressing or hopeless stance, but we do not have any treatments for long COVID. We have symptom management, and we have a lot of scientists who have taken it upon themselves to do a lot of work, most of which is not being funded by governments. So in 5 to 10 years, we might have some treatments. But right now, we don't have any treatments for long COVID. So if you are worried about getting long COVID, the best thing you can do is not get COVID. And we all know how to not get COVID, you know, so whatever those measures are that are available to you to not get COVID, do them as much as you can, because that is really the only way to guarantee that you won't get long COVID. So that being said, when we're thinking about long COVID, there's also two really important things that I want to say. It is a very serious, debilitating, disabling condition. You're seeing me sitting here right now, and I look fine. If you had seen me this time last year, I would not be sitting here looking fine, because I would be in my pajamas, even at this time in the morning, barely out of bed, barely through the shower, barely washing my hair. The chronic fatigue, the brain fog, and the other symptoms are very debilitating and very disabling. And an awful lot of people are taking off work because they cannot function. This is not just sort of a minor thing that you go to your doctor and you get a bit of assistance with and you'll be fine. It's a pretty serious thing. So again, if you can avoid getting it, please do. If you've got it, and you're sitting there looking at me thinking, you know, oh my goodness, she's recovered, but I am nowhere near that. And I can't even imagine getting to that place. I've been there and I know what it feels like. And I just want to normalize that, because when we're in those deepest, darkest days of awful illness and disability, it isn't easy. It isn't easy to self-advocate. It isn't easy to take care of yourself. It isn't easy to do any of those things, because your body is shutting down and just getting out of bed is not easy.
And thank you for saying that we want to normalize this and bring, and that's why the show is so important, and bring deeper understanding, because it is reality. Long COVID is a reality, right? So audience, when you hear people saying that, you know, they have long COVID and they have these symptoms lingering on, please hear them when they say this is their experience, and it is an actual
even though we don't have the science to cure and treat yet, we do have a lot of really wonderful research looking at the possible mechanisms behind it, and it's very clear that there is a physiological basis, that something that the COVID spike protein does in our bodies, which is causing inflammation, which is causing microclotting, which is involved with all those immune processes in our body, is causing major problems to pretty much every organ system in the body. And that is what is responsible for long COVID. So please, and, you know, as a psychologist, I think it's doubly important that I say this, because, you know, people sometimes assume, because I'm a psychologist and I'm working with people with long COVID, I think that it's psychosomatic. I think that it's all in people's heads. It is 100% not in anybody's head. And obviously, every illness has a mind-body component. And I think a lot of your listeners are, you know, attuned to that and listen in for that reason. And we can definitely talk more to that as we have time.
Right. So I think, you know, when we were preparing for the show, some important points you brought up about psychological treatment. Your points were there's no FDA approved treatment, right? Secondly, so how psychological treatment can help as a psychologist and a coach, right?
It's
the spike protein. So you spoke about the spike protein and serotonin levels leading, and or the combination of that, and how they lead to the depression, the brain fog, the anxiety, fatigue, dizziness, right? And how the spike protein does not clear our system. So That's why these psychological symptoms still occur in the body, right? And the PTSD type reaction. So maybe you can talk a little bit to that before we go into our last commercial break and then come back and talk about your workshops and the Safe and Sound protocol, right?
Yeah, this is really crucial. So almost everybody will have heard of fight or flight versus rest or digest. Mm-hmm. The autonomic nervous system, parasympathetic and sympathetic. Most of us learn this in high school, that this is a process that's happening in our bodies, that it's autonomic, it's out of our awareness, it happens automatically on a daily basis. And the idea that you're supposed to sort of have equilibrium between those two systems, we all go into fight or flight for positive reasons, but then we can also kind of re-regulate ourselves and come back into rest and digest at the appropriate times of the day. And what happens in the body with this novel virus that no humans have ever experienced before is that that is a major trauma to the system. And so all of these physiological processes get activated as a result of that. And that kicks the body into a state of heightened fight or flight that goes on and on and on and on and on for months and months and months. And the body obviously cannot sustain that. Those high levels of cortisol and adrenaline are starting to do damage to the body. And so then naturally and functionally, the body starts to shut down slowly, system by system, in order that no further damage is sustained. And that's basically what we see in long COVID. Mm-hmm. So the first year, I was getting more and more kind of obvious symptoms. That's the fight or flight stuff. Mm-hmm. Chest pain, shortness of breath, spiking heart rate, all of those things, insomnia. And within that state, we can also get anxiety, even if you've never had anxiety in your life, part of the disease pathology. As time goes on, the chronic fatigue starts to set in, the brain fog starts to set in. And most of 2021 for me was more and more and more and more and more fatigue and overwhelm and my body shutting down. And why this is so super relevant for us from a psychological perspective is that there are things that we can do to support the nervous system to re-regulate itself and to soothe and get back into rest and digest. Many things that people have done for centuries, yoga, breathing, meditation, other practices that I know that you talk a lot about, Reiki, acupuncture, craniosacral therapy, all of those can help re-regulate the nervous system and get us back into rest and digest as much as possible. And so these are things that are also both preventative and treatment. If you're worried that you're at risk for long COVID, make sure you're doing your yoga. Make sure you're doing your meditation. All those things you were talking about in your podcast, Ritika, about getting back to grounding and centering and being in touch with yourself is really important. And other, as part of, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the other point I have here is self-responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Piggybacking on self-advocacy, right? And just really recognizing your patterns, recognizing what you need. And asking for support you need. So whether that's, again, whether your personal space, your professional space, or actually seeking out a professional like yourself or myself and getting the support that people need to help regulate some of these symptoms that are coming up with long.
And that for me, we talk so much these days about boundaries and, the younger generations are coming up knowing about boundaries much younger than we did. And yet, for me, a big part of this 2.5 year process has been learning to say no, learning how to say no,
it's such good
what to say no to.
Yeah.
And then what to ask for? What do I need? Learning to pay attention to my body and listening.
Yes.
And, even now that's an ongoing process on a daily basis and it comes into every part of our life. So I need to hire a new assistant right now because the woman who was working for me had a medical issue and has to go out for a number of months for recovery, which, you know, totally understandable, yeah. But I now need a new assistant.
Right.
And in interviewing, it's so easy how you can kind of get into like looking at a checklist or looking at your finances and all that sort of cognitive, logical stuff of, you know, but actually, this is what matters, right? I need to listen to my body. Mm-hmm. I need to sit and I need to think about what is that lovely assistant that I imagine in my mind? Like, how do I feel when they're working for me?
Right.
Like, so what is happening with my business? And then noticing what happens in my body and what shows up. And we can do that throughout our recovery. So if you're trying to find a doctor, imagining you found the right doctor, what does it feel like in your body? That sense of relief, that sense of safety. And then as you meet with doctors, seeing what resonates,
absolutely,
which one is evoking those sensations.
Such a great point when it comes to self-care. One of my mottos is your self-care is your healthcare, right? But part of self-care is being highly self-aware of who you are and what you need, right? And thank you for saying that because it's so important. If we don't align with the people surrounding us and that we're working with, that can generate all other different types of psychological effects, right? That don't support our healing process or support, you know, just staying grounded and balanced in general, right?
Absolutely.
Especially those, so since this is, you know, a topic on long COVID, but especially those dealing with the symptoms of long COVID. You know, so thank you so much for that point. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I love this. I just love the name of the program, Safe and Sound Protocol. And when we come back, I'd love for you to touch on the Safe and Sound Protocol, what that is, and and I do want to also touch on the PTSD type reactions when we come back from commercial break, and how you can support those with long COVID. So thank you so much, Sally, for all the knowledge in this segment. And we'll be right back, audience. Thank you so much for listening. Tagged You're It takes you on a journey of 8 life mastery skills that will help you step into your power and become the leader of your own life. Inspiring, real, insightful, and therapeutic, the pages help you discover deeper awareness, understanding, and relationship with yourself and others. Give yourself permission to live life through your authentic self. These steps can be used in your personal, professional, and social life. Order your copy now on Amazon. Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com. Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, and my very special guest today, Sally Riggs, Doctor of Clinical Psychology. We were continuing the conversation about long COVID. In this last segment, we are going to talk about the Safe and Sound Protocol. And Sally, I'd like for you to touch just very quickly on the PTSD type reaction for those with the long COVID. And I love this language. I love the language of supporting the reduction of fight or flight and returning to rest and digest. We've always, fight or flight is a very common term, but rest and digest is something that I've just started hearing actually through my conversations with you. And I think that that is so important. So if we can touch on those few topics real quick and then jump into what the Safe and Sound Protocol is.
Yeah. So if we're thinking about these two systems that we kind of touched on in the last segment, that fight or flight and rest or digest. And for a long time, that's how we assumed it was, these two systems that needed to be in equilibrium. But it turns out there's a guy called Stephen Porges, and he's been doing research since the late 60s, looking at our autonomic nervous system and its role in trauma. And these days, Interestingly, I am not a therapist who had specialized previously in trauma, but I'm learning more and more about this kind of theory now. And in the trauma-focused world, this has been talked about for a long time, how mm-hmm. trauma shows up in our bodies, that we can have physiological symptoms of trauma. And this is very much related to that autonomic nervous system. And what Stephen Porges said is that actually there are three levels. And so he calls it this thing called polyvagal theory, mm-hmm. Because the vagus nerve starts in our brainstem and goes all the way down through all of our major organs into our gut. And that is what controls our autonomic nervous system. Mm-hmm. So if you are having any symptoms of fight or flight or shutdown, which is this third kind of level, immobilization, what Stephen Porges refers to as dorsal vagal. Fight or flight is what we call sympathetic, and rest or digest he calls ventral vagal. Mm-hmm. So that's the lovely, sometimes kind of green, it's referred to, state where we are calm and we are open and we are relaxed and our body can naturally start to do those healing processes that it's capable of. But if we have any kind of trauma history, what happens to our bodies is that we much more easily get activated into fight or flight, and then our bodies get overwhelmed by that because it goes on for an extended period of time, and then they naturally shut down much more quickly. Mm-hmm. And so kind of two things of relevance here, one being the actual trauma to the body that we touched on already of this novel virus that humans have not mm-hmm. experienced before. But also we are seeing that folks who have a trauma history are more vulnerable to long COVID, which sucks because people with a trauma history are more vulnerable to so many things, and they already had, a tough time already.
When you say trauma history, is this in particular to COVID-19 trauma or trauma in general?
Any general life trauma.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you know that you have a diagnosis of PTSD, then that definitely includes you. But as you know, these days in the trauma world, sometimes people say, distinguish between capital T trauma, by which they're referring to like one discrete event, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, you were in an airplane crash or something mm-hmm. like that, versus little T trauma, which means that like throughout your life, you had a lot of things that just happened over and over and over, like childhood neglect or abandonment or verbal abuse, things like that, which cumulative, sometimes people refer to as that sort of death by a thousand paper cuts, that if you look back, people will say, oh, well, my life has been fine. Nothing awful has happened to me. But actually, you have difficulties with attachment, you have difficulties with abandonment, which means in adult life, you have difficulties with commitment. Mm-hmm. All of those things make our nervous system more sensitive. And if your nervous system is already more sensitive, then when a big trauma comes along, like COVID-19 virus, then it sets it off more easily again. So what we're looking to do is to build more what they call vagal flexibility. Mm-hmm. So it's not that anybody ever gets into rest and digest permanently. Mm-hmm. We all need fight or flight, and we all need shutdown mm-hmm. as a mechanism to protect our bodies. Mm-hmm. But we want to have more ease moving between the states volitionally rather than being beholden to, you hear a car backfiring and suddenly you're triggered. And lots of interventions, like we mentioned already, yoga, Reiki, all of those great things. But particularly folks with long COVID, particularly folks with trauma histories, and those of us who have the double whammy of both, we are more sensitive. And it may be that even something that seems like a very easy, gentle yoga class could be too much for our nervous system, mm-hmm. and it can cause a crash or acute symptoms. Stephen Porges came up with this thing called the Safe and Sound Protocol, mm-hmm. and it's an auditory intervention. And it's available, he holds the copyright, it's available through practitioners who have gotten certified through him, and have bought a subscription, and it is 5 hours start to finish of music that has been frequency modulated so that it works on the muscles of your middle ear, which connects into the top of that vagus nerve system, which works on vagal tone and vagal flexibility. And for those who took psychology 101, you will remember those lovely research experiments with mothers who have that lovely sing-song voice, which they call vocal prosody, that babies like very much and helps with their attachment. And if you get the mother to stop and freeze her face, you can see that the baby starts to get a little bit panicked and a little bit anxious, and it will cry. And then the mother comes back again and does the sing-song voice, and it soothes and it feels better. That is what is being mirrored with this music. So the frequency has been altered to these songs, which are just popular music, to make it mimic that process of the mother sing-song voice, and then a little bit of break, and then sing-song voice, and a little bit of break, so that the body is naturally building back vagal tone and vagal flexibility.
But when you say 5 hours, if someone is interested in taking this program, is it 5 hours at a stretch, or is this 5 hours?
No.
Okay.
Over a long period.
Okay.
So typically with long haulers, we do sort of 5-10 minutes at a time.
Okay.
And it's super important that you do it with a practitioner face to face. That can be on Zoom or it can be in person. Mm-hmm. So you get what we call co-regulation. So that you get, your body has as many cues of safety around it while it's listening to keep it safe and minimize the likelihood of you bouncing back in to shut down. So it's available through lots of practitioners worldwide. I offer it in my practice. I offer it individually with me. We also have it in a group program. And I have a couple of practitioners that also work with me because we've had so many people reach out. You know, we've had a lot of interest in and trying to make it accessible to possible to everybody.
Excellent. And that being said, Sally, we are coming to the end of the program. So please let the audience know a little bit more about your coaching program or how you coach those that are have long COVID and how they can reach out to you for support through your private practice.
So this is separate from my private practice. I keep the two businesses quite separate because I think that's important. But what I'm offering for coaching, and the great thing about coaching is we can really tailor it to the individual. So we figure out where you're at right now, what symptoms you're still experiencing, what you've tried, what worked, what didn't work, and then what the life is that you want to get forward to. None of us can go back in time. Every time I ask that question, people, I just want to get back to my old life. Sadly, none of us gets to get back to our old life, even those of us who don't have long COVID. But what's that dream life that you want in your future?
Right.
And so we can work on pacing. We can work on managing energy. We can work on mindset around that, because most of us, you'll have a good day, and then, oh my goodness, this is so good. I've got a good day and I want to do this and I want to do that. And then crash. And then you're in bed for a week.
Yeah.
And so how to manage that, how to get the pacing right, how to get the mindset right around that, the self-compassion piece, the taking care of ourselves piece. Many, many, many of us have internal critical monologues that are pre-programmed from a long time ago. Learning to undo that, learning to have self-compassion. And the other big issue with long COVID is treatment decision fatigue, because there are no clear treatment pathways. And yet, if you get on the internet or Facebook or Reddit or whatever, there will be 20, 30, 40, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And they all cost a ton of money and they all involve going here, there, and everywhere. And it's overwhelming and it's exhausting. And how do I pick? Where do I go next? And so that very process that we spoke about of listening to your body, tuning into what your body needs, your body knows at every stage what it needs next. Tuning into that, that's what we do. So with coaching, it's, you know, a little bit different for each person, but some or all of those elements are in there. And ultimately, the bottom line is you can feel better. There is hope. There are ways forward. And I have been able to do that. This time last year, I was still incredibly poorly and barely working. And so let me hold your hope and be your hope so that we can get you closer to where you want to be.
I love that. And it, you know, what comes to me as occupational therapists, we call it modified independence, right? You can still have your life. You can still have your lifestyle. You can still be completely independent. It's just, how do you modify it to maximize your functional outcomes, right? If we're experiencing some sort of disability or ailment. So please reach out to Sally, and Sally's now going to share her information, how to reach out to her for any support.
Nice and easy. Yeah. So you can find me at sallyricks.com. And all of my offerings are on there. I typically do free workshops about once every month or 2 months. And you can click through from sallyricks.com to see which is the latest one coming up. I think I just put one in for November 3rd. But if you're listening to this after November 3rd, if you still go to my website, the latest one that is happening will be up there, and you can see there are also recordings of previous workshops that I have done that are available for purchase. So if you're hearing and wanting to learn more about my work and not wanting to wait until November 3rd, I think we have two up there right now. One about all the polyvagal theory stuff, which I did in fact, just last week, and one from July that was thinking about treatment decision fatigue and overwhelm. And if you want to email me directly, which you're also welcome to, is also nice and easy, sally@sallyricks.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sally. This was such an informative episode, and I hope to have you on again to speak. Yes, thank you. I hope to have you on again to speak on other topics and further the knowledge and wisdom to the audience. And thank you so much. Take care of yourself. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for listening, and please reach out to Sally for any long COVID support that you may need. Thank you so much. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose. I hope that you heard something today that sparked a shift in your perspective to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. The world needs love, acceptance, togetherness, and belonging. My hope is to be a contributing force towards the new world we need to create together. If each of us can awaken our truth and live with more empathy and authenticity, that shift will radiate. Spread the word. And tune in next time for more conscious dialogues of healing and transformation on Transformation Talk Radio and Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose on YouTube and across all podcast stations. For more information about how to work with me, please visit RitikaRose.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.